I'm going to preach this morning on meeting the Lord at trial. Meeting the Lord at trial. I think it's a very important message on trials. And it was a simple concept. But if you can get it, I think it'll really help you in trials. And if I can preach in one message and get it across to you, it'll help a lot because it's one of the things I have a hard time sometimes explaining to people in trials. And if you ever need counseling and you talk to me, one of the things that so many people want now is in counseling is they want, I want out of this trial. And that's the hardest thing to do is if, almost like if somebody just tells you, okay, here we're gonna pray and it's gonna actually disappear. It makes people feel good and they walk away from you, but when the trial's still there Tuesday, it doesn't make them feel very good. And one of the things, if I can explain this to you, I can help you a lot in trials and answer questions you might have where I won't even need to help you. You can do your own. And but I'm glad to help if you need me. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all be subject one to another. Just this isn't a lesson at all, but you'll find the Bible tells you the order of authority. And what authority you have. But usually when it does that, it'll tell you level of authority. It's, you know, it says, younger, submit yourself to the older. It'll say, children, parents. It'll say, wives, obey your husbands. But then it'll say, submit yourselves to one another. In other words, God has a chain of authority, but the right people will always serve each other no matter who they are. If you look at police departments, it'll say in their car, to protect and serve. They're your authority. And hopefully serve and protect. Somebody who's an authority will also be the servant at the same time they're serving the people. So it says, submit yourself to the old elder, and by young people are supposed to honor and respect and treat kindly elderly people. Long gone are the days of the scouts helping the elderly lady across the street. Now it's cutting her off and running across the front of her. That's just kind of the culture we live in, but it's still, we have all kids, our kids treat older people and them with respect and honor and like that. It's just kind of gone, and a lot of we as Christians, if we do that, you'll have a lot of older people who will like and respect you and be very kind and do nice things if you treat them with respect. That's the way they always treat older people, and they're shocked that younger people look at them now. And it's biblical. Likewise, you younger, yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another. Be clothed with humility. You be so humble, it's we're wearing it. For God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist fast in the faith, knowing that the afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, seal you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just read your words from heaven, the words of God. They were inspired, preserved, and inerrant for us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We can put our lives and base our lives on the word of God and know that we have a rock on which to stand that'll never be shaken. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, read those words and study these words. I pray I would present them truthfully. I pray that I would rightly divide them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, empower me to preach your word. And I pray every person who came to you took time, took effort. Some drove, some were busy, some are tired. But, Lord, they took time to come to church. I pray that in every case, Lord, they'd be rewarded to come in here, Lord. And that you'd speak to our hearts and you'd give us a blessing from the word of God. We need you. We ask Holy Spirit's power. You said, if ye then evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. I ask now, Lord, would have your Holy Spirit's power, and you please help us now and encourage us and speak to us from heaven. Your message would help us to understand how to deal with burdens and you in the middle of the burden. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, if we turn to verse 6, it says, humble yourself, therefore under the mighty hand of God may exalt you in due time. First of all, it says, humble yourself under God's hand. God is going to try to, in life, push you down. You say, I don't think I need push down. You need push down because you said that. God has humble people to use people, and he is going to try to humble you. And it may be through 1,000 different ways, maybe personally, it may be maybe failures and maybe through your own weakness. Or you might be wise and humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he won't have to do that. The Bible says if you humble yourselves, he'll lift you up. But God's hand will humble you and make you realize a few things. One, you need him. You need the Lord. You'll try in life a whole bunch of times and fail as a Christian, and at some point, hopefully you'll stop and say, you know what? I've been trying my own strength. I need God. I need the Lord. And humble yourselves and say, Lord, I am without you nothing. I need your help. And Lord, I with your strength cannot make it. Humble yourself under the hand of God. And if you do that, he will exalt you in due time. A lot of people don't like the due time thing. The Bible says, in due season you shall reap, you faint not. God's due time. God is not a God of schedules in our spiritual lives. People would love to say, God says he'll bless you in 4 months from the time you give. It might be 4 years, it might be 4 days. God doesn't lock him in the calendars of when he's going to bless us. We're all different things. But God, if you will humble yourself under my hand and realize you need me and depend upon me and come to me humbly and not haughtily, then I will in due time exalt you. I will lift you up and bless you. And people look and say, look how God's blessed them in due time. But you know that time is you must wait patiently for God's seeing. Verse 7, it says, during this time and in the relationship with God, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Understand, it's the lie that God is not interested in your life. The Bible says God cares about you. And if you will cast your care upon him, he can. God's hands are big. Allstate says you're in good, but let me tell you, you're in good hands with God. Allstate can go under. You need to be bailed out by the government. But God never does. And God says, you cast all of your worries, all of your burdens, all of your heartaches, all of your past, all of your frustrations, all of your anxieties, all of your cares upon him. Because he cares for you. He wants to hear him. And if you will take time, listen to me, if you will take time every day to give God burdens, you will be shocked how your stress level will go down and how you'll God taking them from you. I'm not saying gripe about it. Oh, what happened to me? God, you're not a fan. That's not casting your upon him. If you go to God and say, God, I'm worried. And Lord, I don't know what's going to happen in the future with this. I don't know about my job situation. Lord, I'd like to be married. Lord, I really have heard about my children. Lord, I really... And you give them to God and you cast them upon him. I promise you, when you leave, you will feel light and better. And you probably won't need quite so many narcotics to calm you down all the time. Because take your burdens. And you'll find yourself not so... all the time, and we're like, you know what? It's in the hand of God. But you got to him. It doesn't happen because you have a problem. God doesn't take your problems because you have a problem. Cast in all your cares, your worries, your frustrations, your cares upon him. He cares for you. God, the God of the universe, says, I care about you. I want you to cast your cares on me because I care about you, and I want to take them from you. And you will, and you can leave your burdens with the Lord, to the Lord, and leave it there. You spend all day worrying about stuff, and you get high pressure, and you get all panic attacks, and you get all worried, and you're all and you're snappy at everybody, and you're the future. Stop. You're not getting anywhere worrying, are you? Oh, if I worry about my finances enough, I'll get money. Worrying, you do not get paid by the hour of worrying. You'd be a millionaire. You do not get paid by worrying. It wastes your time, raises your blood pressure, ruins your system, and makes you a grump. And so, don't worry all the time. God, do your best. Give the rest to God. And he wants you to cast care upon him. And then verse 9, it says, be very careful because you have an enemy who's trying to kill you. Be sober, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, roaring lion, walketh out, seeking whom he may devour. I've taught this before, but the devil is trying to devour everybody all the time. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He might be able to devour you if you're taking the right steps. Say that? If you will take the right steps in the spiritual, the devil cannot devour you. If you do these things, you shall never fall, the Bible says. You can be strong enough because you're going to church regularly, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, giving God your burdens, you are hanging the right people and doing the right things. The devil comes to you and says, never mind, I got to go speak your target. And he will leave you alone. He's whom may devour, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, and that the same afflictions are accomplished by your brethren in the world. You know, it's a comforting to know that you're not the only one going through it. And you know, somebody else is going through the problem, and knowing, it's one of the funny things about humans. History loves company. And boy, If all of a sudden I got a real bad pain in my leg and my leg's killing me and miserable, and all of a sudden you walk up and say, you know what? Oh, same pain, my knee's killing me. I'm like, awesome. I mean, it's just the weird thing about you. We love misery, loves company. Oh, man, your wife beat you the frying pan too? Man, I'm so glad I'm not the only one. We're a weird people, but you know what? It feels good and nobody else got that. Man, how big a fan she used. Oh, she was an iron skillet. Oh, man, I'm glad I don't have your wife. And it makes us feel better. Somebody else is going through it, and it says, knowing the devil's attacking all of you. That's why you got to be good to everybody. Everybody's being attacked by Satan. Everybody's having heartaches. Everybody's having problems. And knowing that the devil's trying to... The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, raise the devil, and he will flee from you. You've got to fight against him. I've seen many of us open the door and say, come on in. I mean, you bring temptation in your house and in your... The Bible says, resist him. Fight him. Battle him. Don't let the devil in and then say, God, help me. You resist the devil, and he will flee from... It says he's trying to devour you. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. Listen, I remember I was going across a field one time, and there was a cow in this field. It's a cow, but it had horns. And never quite that, but they said it was a female cow with horns, a certain breed. Whatever. Live in a weird world. But you never... With humans, at least. And but I'm through this field, and this cow decided they wanted to jump. And so I start walking a little faster. And I look at the fence, and I say, you know what? I can vault that. I can grab the post, and I can jump over it. And I said, I can make this, no problem. And so I start running. I get to the post. I grab the post, and it had electric wire across it, so I halt all the way over, and I could do that. But I grab the post, and the post is broken at the bottom. And here comes Daisy, or whoever it was, and Lulabelle coming after me, or Louie, whichever it was, and after me. And here's my thought was, this guy's going to ram me, but I'm going to punch this thing so hard that it's going to wish it didn't. That's all I said. And I just turned around, and I just went, and it's running towards me and charged me, and it just stops and looks at me like, aren't you afraid? I didn't say I wasn't afraid. I said, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with him having a sore nose. So I'm like this, and it looks at me. And I look at it. Then I try to act tough. And you know what? As soon as I try to turn my back on that thing, it would try to come after me. But I decided I wasn't afraid of it, and I walked to start backing up. So I start walking toward it. And you know what? It's like a dog. You know those dumb dogs that turn your back to it and nips your ankles? If you turn around, it runs away. Resist the devil. Say, you know what? You're coming to my home, you're not going to get it. I'm going to fight you. You make me discouraged and weak and quit going to church. And I'm fighting you. And he says, what happened to you? You've always been easy. You resist the devil. He doesn't resistance. He's looking for easy targets. And it says, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. In this verse, it says, whom resist, steadfast. I'm going to keep resisting and resisting. Be sober, under control, vigilant, on guard, because your adversary, the devil, roaring lion, walketh about seeking to devour whom resists steadfast in the faith. Be surprised when you decide to get courage and resist the devil, and you're going to fight to the end. I'm going to serve God to the day I die. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to give up. I'm not going to get out of church. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm fighting you, Satan. I'm not going to give in this. I'm not going to go back to that old temptation. Be surprised how it gets easier when you decide to resist. Instead of just looking at temptation, should I? Stop. You got to resist. Whom resists steadfast faith, knowing that other Christians are suffering just like you are. You're not alone, and the devil attacks them too. You're not the only one. The best way to get miserable and depressed and hopeless is to say, I'm the only one who goes through this. But you say, but Pastor, I am. Everybody. One of the funniest things in church is having dealt with everybody's problems and knowing here's one person in the room who's a drug addict, and here's another person who's a drug addict, and here's another person who's a drug addict, and all three of them separately come to me and say, Pastor, in church as a drug addict and understands. You sat next to one. You could have exchanged drugs during the service too. I mean, it's... And to have people sit there and have the same temptations, the devil's very original. I mean... There's addictions, there's anger, there's bitterness, alcohol, there's bad marriages, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common man. But God is faithful, will suffer to be tempted above that which you're able. Will with the temptation make a way, so you may be able to bear it. And God says there's temptations are common. You have lust, but it'd be a lust for a woman, or it might be lust for food. But it's lust. You can't pour yourself from something you want. It's just temptation. You're the only one who's alone, discouraged. There are all kinds of people in this room, there's all kinds of Christians around the world suffering from loneliness. I'm around all kinds of people who understand. So you're not the only one who feels that way. And temptations are common. And realize that you're not the only one the devil's attacking. And just keep resisting him and realize you're not alone. Just like Elijah, who thought he was the only one, but God said, I have 7,000 who have not bowed a knee to Baal. Where we want to get in this message is verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've served a while, make you perfect, strengthen, and settle you. A Christian at a certain point becomes perfect, established, settled, complete. Okay, I'm stable now. This Christian, I look at them, they are with it. They're reading their Bible, praying, they're going to church, they're loving people, they're under control. They got it together, not falling to pieces. They are an established Christian, and their life is together. The Bible says God wants you to get you there. Between God, establish, settle you, and all those things, in between that path is after you've suffered. You've suffered a while. In between being established and being settled and being a strong Christian is the God of all grace, who has called us eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, establish, strength, and settle you. He's the God of all grace. He has all the sufficient grace that you need for life. And he says you need to suffer for a little while. It is, we are told, it is given to us to suffer to make us great. You don't become in the Christian life without suffering. And sometimes you say, why am I going through all the suffering? Because it's going to make you great. People normally do not become great without suffering. It doesn't happen in ethics. It doesn't happen in finance. It doesn't happen in the military. It doesn't happen in any area. You got to suffer before you become great. Very few people will take that step in between. And the Bible talks a lot about how we have to suffer. Look across the page, 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise of the same mind, for it has suffered in the flesh, ceased from sin. Listen, when you begin to suffer, you'll find the grip of sin weaker and weaker. Eventually, you'll find yourself able to overcome sin because you suffered enough. When I went through Bible college, we were talking to two people I went to Bible college with. And I've told you how rough it was when we were there and what it was like. It was just a weird situation, and it was a Bible call on purpose, made it ridiculously hard. When I got used to getting up after I slept 3.5 hours, or sometimes miss a day of sleep, and having to go to work and college and work and work in college for days straight, I learned when I was exhausted to go out witnessing when I didn't want to do it, and learned to suffer. And the worst suffering for me, I'd rather have my broken than be tired all the time. I hate being tired all the time. I'm exhausted. I hate having a drive and a long drive when I know I can't stay awake the whole drive and miserable. And after I found that, you know what? Not looking at this or not drinking this or not that or not saying this is not that hard. Once I suffered. Listen, once you learn to control yourself, suffering, you go talk to a person who goes to elite special forces training. They might be in a very immoral person. If they had to not be immoral for a while, they could do it. They learn how to control themselves through suffering. Suffering makes you very strong. It's he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. But when things are easy and pleasures are there for you and you always get what you want and you get kind of spoiled and used to good things in life, suddenly it's very hard to not do what you want to do because you've been doing what you wanted to do in every area. When you always get to eat what you want to eat, you'll be surprised how you can't stop eating. And when you're poor a while, you'll be surprised how you can control your appetite. I just don't have money at Starbucks today. I just don't got money to go out and buy that. I got to buy generic. Oh, I'll live. You know what? Learn to suffer. You learn to control yourself. And he that is in the flesh has ceased from sin. Verse 2, that he should no longer live the rest of his life in the lust of men, but the will of God. He says, you got to learn to suffer. Arm yourselves likewise like Christ's mindset. I will suffer. And you will learn to cease from sin. You got to learn to suffer. And God will lead you to suffering. You got to learn to handle the suffering and go through the suffering. Philippians 1, verse 29. I won't turn there. It says, it is given to you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Listen, folks. God has given you that you need to suffer for his sake. It's been given to you by Christ. Every one of you. And you say, my life is not a life of suffering. I should have a good life. You have been given as a human, God, the need to suffer. You need to suffer. If you're not suffering, you'll have a weak Christian many times. If you suffer somewhere in between in the process of living the Christian life, the Lord at the end wants to meet you and bless you And he wants to meet you at the end, the matured you, and know you and bless you and work in your life then. However, really over here, you're too immature Christian and too weak and too flawless and too not serious serving him. Once you suffer, God is waiting at the end, and he says, in due season, as we read, I'm going to meet you at the end of your suffering, and I'm going to be with you and bless you and make you understand everything. But in between, you're going to suffer, and I'm not going to bless you and work in your life, and you're not going to know where I am. I need you to go through that suffering without me there. You're like a child that we've got a break of some bad habit of being afraid and always whining and won't get away from their parents and say, you know, I'm going to leave you alone now. But I can't do you. I am leaving you alone. Click. Pound, pound, pound. Ah, I'm going to die. Are they going to die? No. Are you going to help them if they really start dying? Yes. Do you love the children? Yes. Do they need to suffer? Yes. And you're when they get done, they start crying and stop throwing their fit, and they calm down and say, okay, you know what? I'm okay now. And you say, I'll be in there in 10 minutes if you just calm. And then until you go in there and say, okay, I'm with you. Give me a hug. I'm proud of you. You made it through the trial, and you're stronger now because of it. You learned you can survive by yourself without screaming and yelling for mommy every minute. You don't hang with me every second to make it, do you? Nowadays, in their 40s, they're still screaming and crying at me because they don't learn to break it when they're young. And we see that people, but you know what? If my sister in the room says, okay, stop crying now. You need to be strong, and I'm with you. Stop crying. Okay, do they become strong? No, because mommy's with the part of the day. And when you go, sometimes a person needs to learn to suck. When your kid goes out and blows all the money and they have a car payment and they call you and say, I don't have any money. What happened? You're working a job. Well, I went out drunk last night and had a party this week and spent my girlfriend and I need to buy some drugs and this and that. Can you make the payment for me, Mom? You know what? Sorry, but you need to figure it out yourself. You need to suffer. Because they will learn. And one of the things I want you to understand is God in your trials, he is with you always. Sometimes the Bible says, why standest thou afar off, God? Why did your face from us? Because in the middle of the trial, and here's the message, God meets at the end of the trial and is with you and explains everything and comforts you. But in that trial, it looks like God is vacant and is there for you. Because that will strengthen you in trial, and in due season, you'll be strengthened. It says, if you go back to 1st 5, it says at the end of verse 6, he exalts you after you humble yourself in due time. 10, after you have suffered, I'll make you perfect, establish strength, settle you. The Lord puts you on course, then goes quiet and checks to see if you stay on course. If you do, he meets you at the end. The worst trials of my life and the biggest darkness of my life that I went through, during those times, God told me, I want you to do this. And then all of a sudden, God just kind of disappeared out of this. I started going through great trials in that course that God set for me. And I said, Lord, where are you? And heard crickets. And some of the time, I've been tempted to do what I've seen so many people do, is God said, walk to that tree over there. Okay, great. We're close, God. Everything's good. We're getting along good. And all of a sudden, in the process of walking the tree there, here comes trials. You three, come on up here. And there are my trials, let me tell you. And here's my trials. Luckily, they're wimpy. But here's these trials. And all of a sudden, I start going there, and they start attacking me. All right. I fight back. I resist, steadfast. Better watch out. Fair, you three against me. I'll kill you. And I'm going through these trials, and they're attacking me. And I say, Lord, why don't you stop this? And just doesn't. He's just silent. And I sat there, Lord, where are you? And I start going. I keep on going. Now, here's what you don't do. God, where are you? I'm going to go back where I was before. I never get to meet God at the end. Ever get strengthened. The key is when the Lord has told you on a path, you realize that path, after you've suffered a while, you will be strengthened, established, and settled. And so you go along the path, and you go and you break through the whips, and you get over to those here, and you get through them. I'll be seated now that I showed you who's the man. And once you break trial and you get through it, that was easy. That was harder than that. And you get through it, and you get to the other end, you find God is standing there with his arms open saying, you get through, and now you're strong. I need you to go to trial. Thank you for continuing the path that I showed you, even though I went silent. If you read your Bible and you read it all of the Bible, you will find all throughout the Bible this happening to people. How about Job? Job got these terrible trials. He said, "Where are you, God?" And God said, "Nothing." And then at the very end, after Job went through it and didn't charge God loosely, and at the end of the book, in chapter 40, God comes back to Job and he says, "I'm going to give you 10 times what you had before. You made it through the trial. And now here I am." And God spoke to Job at the end of the trial. You'll find all kinds of people in the Bible going through this. And the problem is God puts you on a path. You're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're going to church, you're having good Christian friends, and all of a sudden you start going through trials. And God said, "Here's the punch on. I regularly talk to you about this." They say, What am I doing now? God isn't there in this trial, and all of a sudden my finances are struggling, or this is happening, or my health is having issues. What am I supposed to do?" What did God tell you to do? "Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I'm in trials." Yes. God told you to go to the tree. You read your Bible, you pray, you go to church, you win souls, love people, you do what the Bible says to do, you keep on going. But it's a struggle and it's hard. I think I should just change course and stop serving, or get away out of church, or go to a different church, or go and change what I'm doing in my life. No. God told you to do. You keep doing what God said. And once you've suffered a while, you'll be established, strengthened, and settled. Problem is, we get to right here, the trials come and they quit and go back. And guess what? Weak and not strong and not victorious and not Christians and not established. And then they say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do?" And they go back, get back in church, and they go back to praying their Bible and loving people. And they say, "Okay, God, now, oh, trials again." And you start to suffer again and you go back again. One of the dumbest things in the world is you need to suffer over and over through the same thing and never get through them and never become something through it. And you go through trials and you don't ever become strengthened and settled because you don't get to the end where God says after you've suffered a while, he'll strengthen and settle you. You don't get to the end of the trial. You charge God's foolishly. You go backward and you don't keep serving God. And the trial you go through, whether financial or emotional or relationships or loneliness or heartache or depression or whatever the trials you have to go through, persecution, whatever it is, you go through these trials and God is going to make you so you can finally control your brain. God is going to make you so you can finally control your anger. And God is going to make it so you can finally control your lust. Or God make it so you can finally control your bad habit or so you can love like you should or so you can whatever it is to become a mature Christian. Because you don't continue to serve God and suffer for a while and humble yourself under the hand of God and stay obedient to the trial, you never become strong enough to become victorious, and you just suffer and then go suffer. You start basically in every 10 weeks and don't make it through it, and you start in. I'd rather just make it through basic training and be done. Oh, 8 weeks in basic training, you know what, this is hard, I'm going back. I'm joining the army again. I'm going to go through basic training. You're going to go through all that again? Okay, I'd finish it. I'm not going to finish it. I just want to go through it again. That's how many Christians go through the same cycle of suffering, and they continue to never get established because they didn't stay on the right path when they're told, God said, "I told you to do this." You do not see God to have faith in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is the things not seen. It told you at the start, go there. You'll find when you obey God, it'll be fine, even if you don't see walking beside you all the way. God is not responsible to put his arm around you every single millimeter of your life and every step of your life and for you and pat you on the back and speak in your ear. Sometimes God should just be able to go silent and you say, "I'm still God, though I don't hear from him. See God's blessing upon my life, though I don't see how God's getting this, though I see all these frustrations and worry." And then you panic and worry and run and get worried and run away from the will of God, and you go back and you do not meet God at the other end, and you say, "Why don't I feel the presence of my life?" Because God is waiting for you at the other end of the trial to establish, strengthen you, and hug you, and meet you, and talk to you like Job, but you don't make it through the trial. You run and quit, and "I need to get out of trial because I'm discouraged and having a hard time." You need to be in church. You're from the doctor when you're sick. It's the hospital. "I'm too sick to go to the hospital." No, stay in the hospital. You need to go there. I need to just get away from my friends and just go be alone. I need to go back to life. I need to go back to my security blanket, old immorality. Can I tell you something? As kind as I can do this, it was a miserable life before, but you get it, your security blanket. And you go back to that old stinking thing you hated, and because it's what you're used to, and you think you're going to be happy there. You weren't happy there growing up. You weren't happy there when you were there, and you left it for a reason. Your old life stinks. Don't run back to it because you're used to, and you feel safe there. I'm so tired of going back to ignorant, dumb, terrible, moral, wasted lives because that's your comfort zone. I know you grew up with that. I know it's the way you grew up with, and I know you're used to those relationships, and I know you... It's foolish to go back to it. When you're insecure, don't run to your comfort zones of stupidity. It's foolish. so comfortable around those relationships, so comfortable in that style. You know it's a struggle. You know it's worse. You know it's not going to take you anywhere you want to go in life. It just makes you feel comfortable. Yes, and it'll make you feel comfortable for a little while, or going back to make you, or going back to bad friends, going back to bad music, or whatever it is, comfort zone. But let me tell you, you'll never become a Christian and have a victorious life and change and give your children someday a life than you had to grow up with. You'll just go back to your comfort zone of misery. You got to go into the trials and keep enduring hardness and handle it. It's so common in the Bible, you see God meets you at the end, and there he comforts you, and there he wraps his arms around you, and there he blesses you, and there he calms the storm. There he says, I love you, and I'm proud of you, and you are something, you've become stronger. It's at the end when you endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Even just had to go through suffering to become what he needed to be. If you look at Hebrews, just in verse out of Hebrews, to love people, you learn to feel heartbroken for them suffering. You really want them to learn the lessons of suffering. The total mistake is one you don't learn from. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, that's Jesus, perfect, that means complete, through suffering. Jesus had to suffer in the man and the God man he needed to be. And his earthly life, he needed to suffer to fulfill all righteousness. Even Jesus had to suffer. Hebrews and chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. When we were talking about how miserable college was, and me and a couple of guys, we were laughing about the terrible thing we went through. At the end, I looked and I said, but I really needed that. I really needed that. That was a God order for my life. I needed to suffer. I was weak and not strong. And that. Watch Jesus through this. Watch Jesus be put into suffering and God go silent. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, the Son of God. God the Father said, you need to suffer for a while. Go there. Went there, and then you don't see God the Father talking until the end of the suffering. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Did you read that? Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to go out in the wilderness. You need to be tempted by the devil. That's what it said. So here's Jesus growing up, hitting about 3 years old, and the Spirit says, go out in the wilderness. Don't eat for 40 days. You need to be tempted by the devil. That's not fun. He said, okay, here I go. And here comes Satan, and Satan offers him the whole entire world. Can you believe that? He offers the whole world. And Jesus doesn't say, God, deliver me. Jesus doesn't say, where are you? And the Father doesn't say, son, don't do that sin. He says nothing. And Jesus is in the wilderness, and he has to resist the fight. And he has to say, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And he has to resist these things. He's weak and tired and sick, and he has need 40 days, and he's suffering for 40 days. And he endures trial. And is tempted by Satan and refused to do what it says, offered the whole world, and he suffers and he gets to the end. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stones be made bread. He's tempted, by the way, in all three ways of temptation: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. Verse 9, and he says, all these things will I give thee, I'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, it is written, thou shalt worship thy God, him only shalt thou serve. He's all alone, nobody to help him, the devil tempted him, God's not saying words to him, there's no words coming down from him, there's no releasing the temptation, he's offered the whole world, and he's tired and hungry and alone, and he resists it and goes to the suffering. Then, verse 11, the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. At the end of the trial, the angels then come and say, let's minister, let's fix Jesus. By the way, immediately you see grape come upon him and the miracles begin. Because the blessings are for those who are established at the end, who go through the suffering and endure it and stand their path through the suffering, no matter what the suffering is. And by the way, don't just think the suffering will be, you're going to have your leg broke. Don't think the suffering is just going to be, they're going to come and tempt you and offer you all your bad habits. Listen, the suffering is someone you love messes up and from God and you're suffering alone. The suffering you go through sometimes is the least expected source where someone you really love hurts you very bad. It's where an authority who should have been good becomes very bad and makes it so you're tempted to do wrong. You're going to get tempted. And it's going to be blindsiding. And you've got to say, I'm going to keep on the right path. I'm going to keep on suffering. Because at the end, I will suffer enough to be established and strengthened. I'll be a godly Christian. I will learn to trust God, and I need this suffering. And I'm going to go through it, and at the end, I'm going to meet these angels, and they're going to bless me, help me, and strengthen me. But I might not hear from the trial all the time, but I'll keep talking to him and keep his word, whether I hear or see from him. Because I don't need God every moment, every second in the room with me. Yes, he's there, but sometimes he's kind of hidden my eyes so I can't see him. Because I need to learn to keep on going when he isn't giving me riches and wealth and happiness, that stuff. I got to keep serving God. Jesus was walking on the water. Disciples were there and the storm was going. And you know what? He was going to calm the storm, but he was nowhere to be seen when they first in the storm. They thought they were going to die. But I'll be there at the end and I'll calm the storm. But they panicked. He was in the storm, sleeping in the bottom. And they come to Jesus and say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" That's what people say to God. "God, don't you know I'm going to die? I'm miserable. I'm hurting. I'm doing this trial, God. Don't you know?" "Yes, I know. But I'm there, and it's fine. Just don't panic." All over the Bible, Job goes through it. Jesus goes through it. The disciples go through it. Many people in trials, they're in there for no reason. And they say, "What did I do, God?" And then many times they go and they say, "I need to change my life. I need to go backward. I need to run. I need to panic." What you need to learn to endure hardness. I'm on this path. Oh, I'm suffering. Oh, I'm getting hit. Oh, it's tough. The devil's attacking me. Oh, I expect this in life. Life has a big speed bump. I didn't know coming. But Lord, I'm going to stay in this path. Lord, are you hearing me? Lord, I'm really going through Lord, I need you to answer this prayer. Why am I answering it? But you know what, Lord? I'm not going to change that, even if you don't answer it. That will make you strong and have faith and be established at the end, but you got to learn to suffer through the trial. Watch this. Not know why and not hear from God and going through it again. Matthew 27. If the Son of God had to suffer and had to go through these trials without God the Father blessing and comforting him, you and I need to learn to do it just like Jesus had to learn to do it. Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Verse 45. In the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. All of a sudden, the whole land goes dark because the Father says, "You have become sin." And first time in eternity, Jesus, "Where is my God? You forsake me," because he had the sin of the whole world on him. And God is too holy as to behold sin. And he says, "Where is God? Why hast thou forsaken me?" And what does God say? God the Father is silent. What am I supposed to do? God the Father is not with me. What do I do? Stay on the cross. Stay on the cross till you die. That's where he told you to go. You just stay on the path. But wait a minute. The Bible says specifically, Hebrews 12:2, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What does that mean? When he died, God said, "Well done." And here you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and you get your great rewards, and here's the joy set before you, and souls saved, and lives changed. The blessing was at the end of the trial, if you can endure it. But many people cannot endure it, and they can quit and run and say, "Where is God? God's my prayers. I don't know what to do." Never undo darkness what you did in the light. If God said, "Go to that tree over there," suddenly you say, "Oh, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm confused. Go to the tree. If God told you to read your Bible, pray, go to church, your neighbor, and do all the things the Bible says to do, it didn't change because you don't see what God's doing in finances. God changed. He still wants the same things. Do what he wants you to do. Job sat quiet, wondering what God was doing from 1 until chapter 42, I think. And then God spoke to Job and comforted him. He told him what you did wrong and even 10 times more. It's like going through a semester in school and getting to the last week and say, "I quit." And you lose the whole semester. Why don't you just go to the end and get the credits? Do your basic training and quit at the end. God, folks, God cares about you. He says it in Peter 5:7. Casting all your upon him. And I don't know about you, but I'm a great Christian. And I want to be a great person. I want to do great things for God in my life. I don't want to be mocker and weak and petty in my life. I want to be able to conquer myself, conquer my sins, conquer my weaknesses, and go forth as a great person. And one of the hardest things to explain to somebody is, you know what? What do I do? What do I do? But I'm suffering. I'm having a hard time. I'm confused. I don't know. My bills don't look like I can get paid. It looks like I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to have this happen. What do I do? Keep on going. Endure hardness. Take the next step. What do you need to do next? No, nothing. Nothing's going to work out. No. Do you need a job?
Well, yeah, but...
Okay. Apply for a job. Keep going to church. Keep reading. Keep praying. Are you loving your neighbor? How's your problems going? Are you still in this? What did God tell you to do? Six last orders. Don't run and panic. Ah! Running around in circles screaming does not get anything done. But staying on the right course and saying, I don't know how tomorrow's going to work out. I don't know what happened in the future. I don't know how it's going to work out. That, you know what? And keeping on going makes you strong and establishes you after you've suffered a while. But you got to suffer. And Jesus has been perfect through suffering. And I just tell you today, if you're going through trials, the solution is keep doing right and learn to suffer. But pill or something. I need something to get rid of my suffering. No. You just need to learn to suffer and do right when you're suffering. You need to learn to endure hardness when you're suffering. You need to learn to do right when you're suffering. And that is what makes a strong, victorious Christian. And what makes an average, mediocre person in life is running and quitting the going gets tough. Today, are you going through trials? Is God making you suffer? Well, God loves you. He'll make you suffer for a reason. Because you need it. I'm talking about your own foolishness. I'm talking about when you're trying to do right, and you're serving, and you're a Christian, and you're saved, and suffering comes. Can you continue to do the suffering that after you've suffered a while, you may be perfect, established? He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased in heaven you'll never again. And you'll have a whole bunch of treasure if you'll let yourself now. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Be got in between. Be like Jesus. Endure the cross. Endure the trial. Let's pray. Father, as I, Lord, preach on your word, Lord, it's so bad for us to learn, all of us, to be strong in trials. Lord, we're in a chaotic world where things change, bodies change, our situations change, government changes, our jobs change, our companies change, our relationships change, our vehicles change. Lord, we are in a chaotic world, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that we have the work of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, we know we're going to heaven because we accepted Jesus as our Savior. But Lord, we're going to go trials in life. Today, Lord, that some people would decide that during the trials they're just going to keep on walking the right path they knew to walk before. That during the trials, they'll learn that they need to suffer and keep on going and realize you'll meet them and bless them at the end. They have to go through the trial first. That someday they'll get pinned on them, ranger or seal or whatever the title, because they finished the training. And Lord, you're going to comfort them and minister to them at the end. And they'll become great and great Christians and great victors for you, Lord. But not if they can't endure it. I pray that they'd learn to endure, and we would learn to endure hardness. I pray suffering it be for a reason.